Greetings and welcome to Warren Radio Advocacy and Gospel News for the Persecuted Church. I am Tower, and we are glad you joined us for today's show. Warren Radio Advocacy broadcast for the Persecuted Church is a fast-moving gospel news program. This show is not a call-in show, and we do not take calls. Today is June 26, 2019, and our scripture reading for this week is Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 through chapter 18, verse 32, 1 Samuel chapter 11, verses 14 through chapter 12, verse 22, and the New Testament portion is Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through chapter 20, verse 47, and also Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. All correspondence and inquiries of broadcasts of the WIBR Warren Radio Network can be sent through our contact page on www.warren-usa.com. We do not respond through social media. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warren Radio on Facebook and Twitter. On Facebook and Twitter, look for hashtag WatchmanIS216. On Instagram and Twitter, look also for hashtag Warren Radio. And on LinkedIn, it is Watchman. You can listen to all our shows at warren-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. We have three Twitter feeds and the Facebook page and Instagram, LinkedIn, and Tumblr. And be sure to take time to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman, which can be read at warren-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. Perilous living, best and worst of times. Perilous living, chaos in the world. Really? Or is it just that people can't get along? Well, in the world of prophecy, all we do is go back to the book. And that book is the Bible. Antichrist and Anti-Christian Nation of Men is a special writing of the end of days. It is written in prose that brings you to a specific day and time in the future. God's highway called the Way of Holiness. God's highway is the way of holiness. While many find religion, you need the path to holiness found in the Son of God. And before I welcome in the watchman, here is a word.
You're listening to Warren Radio on the WIBR Warren Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warren-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Welcome to Warren Radio, with your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good, and I'm glad to be here.
Me too.
We have a ton of stuff online here. And the first thing, we're not going to take a lot of time here to chat because we want to talk about this Christian village in Mali. You know, Tower, we've been covering the persecuted church for a lot of years. And, you know, I've always said that, there are tons of denominations, especially in the Protestant church. Even the Jews were concerned about all of that. And, of course, there's many people that want to, do something about it. Well, the thing of it is that I have always said that, when persecution really starts, it's going to weed out all of this, them and us. And it's just going to be those who serve the Lord. And, you know, there's a lot of different denominations, a lot of different doctrines, but what it boils down to is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And if you believe in Jesus Christ enough to die for him, then you've won. Whoever dies for his name's sake in the gospel will find their life. And we have seen this time and time again, and that is our focus. Our focus is on advocacy for the persecuted church and on teaching the word of God. That's it. We don't do anything else.
That's right.
We don't want to do anything else. We ain't going to do anything else. And, you know, that's just all there is to it. And our focus, and if you get in the way of that focus, we're going to tell you to shut up and get out of the way. Because we're not interested in playing the game. And a lot of things that people cover, they're important. Let them cover them. We're doing this. And for us, the death of Christians overseas, even if it is in some remote village in Mali, even if it may not be your denomination, they are real people. And here, 100 men, women, and children were killed, of course, by jihadists. And it was a BBC report, and it was picked up by CBN. And of course, why are we surprised to find out Fulani Muslim militants? They're the same ones that have been slaughtering people in Nigeria. And
that's
we've
right.
been covering this. And you know, Tower, nobody does anything. Isn't that amazing?
It's wrong, and it's a shame. Shame on the groups. On the people that let these jihadists get away with it.
Well, you see, the thing of it is, you have 100 Christians. None of them have a rifle. None of them are going to defend themselves. So 50 heavily armed men surrounded the village. They came in on motorbikes and pickups. This is modus operandi in Africa. And sometimes they'll have a mounted machine gun on those motorbikes as well, and they'll have some armor on it. But no one was spared, 100 of them. No one was there to protect them. None of them had guns. And this is just atrocious.
They are cowards that go in and do things like this. They're cowards.
They are cowards. And they also killed the animals and set fire to the houses. Life isn't worth much when you are a Christian in some parts of the world. And so you fast forward to America today, and what do? We fight over stupid things. And just like the stuff at the border that we have, and it's such a mess. The Democrats have refused to do much of anything until recently, since Trump was going to do something with Mexico. And so they finally decided that they would do something. I don't know if that ever got passed or not. But see, this is what we do. We play politics and screw around in America. And we look around the world and we see real, you know, honest to God persecution on innocent people. You know, in America, if you had 100 Christians like in our neck of the woods, and if they saw attackers coming, every one of the Christians would have a gun, guaranteed. And they would fight back. But in Africa, they have nothing to fight back with, apparently. But there's also a lot of denominations whose leaders don't want them to fight back. And so they are, as Scripture says, you know, as a sheep led to the slaughter. You know, you round them up and you shoot them in the head, yeah, like you would sheep. You let them lay in the desert dust of Africa and let the flies and skeeters and vultures and lions and anything else chew on the bodies. So
that's
when the
horrible
authorities finally come, they see a whole passel of dead bodies laying along with all the dead animals and the village burned. And oh yes, it was the Fulani Muslim. And to this day, even in America, we have radical Muslims. We have radical Muslims that are in camps in America. We even have radical Muslims that's been elected to the House. They represent radical Muslims.
Yep.
And the West is infatuated with this, and they don't realize that Muslims, the Islamic religion, has never been incorporated into any Western society successfully.
Nor
never
will it ever.
No. Now, it doesn't mean that all the Muslims in America and the West are like this. They're not, thank God. But the bottom line of it is that there are Muslims that stand up against this. And we've even reported from them. Gatestone Institute has a bunch of them that are solid Muslim, and they don't like this at all. And they talk about it all the time. But you see, the issue needs to be addressed. And I just read a report that I forgot which country it was, you know, coming up from through South America, they actually captured four ISIS terrorists going to go to America. Yeah, it was in the news.
Well,
I think
good.
It was, I'm not sure who it was, but it might have been on our Instagram. I'm not sure because I was on that a minute or two. So at any rate, folks, this is where the focus needs to be. We need some help for these people. And we need to get to the point where, you know, someone is doing something. Of course, you know, then there again, well, what are you going to do? Well, that's probably a good question. Are you going to send all your armies over there? That ain't going to work. But it is a problem. And we know from dealing in the Nigerian thing and covering that, of course, there was first Jonathan Goodluck Johnson. He got voted up. Then Buhari came in, and he's in his second bunch of terms there as president over there. And so far, he hasn't done anything. And the Fulani and the Boko Haram worked together to kill as many Christians and others who oppose them. And, of course, it is true that the Fulani and the Boko Haram are working to bring together a caliphate. And they want, you know, and from the looks of it now, it looks like they're going to continue to kill and murder all over Africa until someone stops them.
I sure pray to God somebody will bring them to justice, you know.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the way it is. You know, that's the focus. That's what we're looking at. You know, while you're sitting comfortable. Yeah, every week. We've been doing it for years. And it goes out through our Warren Radio Network. And we just happen to be back on Blog Talk. But the bottom line of it is that, you know, we're not interested in having an entertainment show at all. This isn't entertainment for us. You know, we give this information out for you to understand what's going on and to pray and give to, you know, ministries that help. And so having covered that, and of course that came through today. You know, even though it happened some time ago, it takes time to get these things out. And, you know, a student was booted out of school here in America for saying there are two genders. So the teacher said on a video, he was being recorded, "You aren't being inclusive. I know what the authority thinks and point of view." This is the teacher. "It's very clear that we make no discrimination on the grounds. I'm sorry what you chose to make an issue about a point that is contrary to policy," he added. The student said, "I think it's silly to have anything other than two genders. It's not scientific whatsoever. I stated something that I believe in and you kicked me out of class. I wasn't making a discrimination. I was simply saying there are two genders, male and female. Anything else is a personal identification." Now, see, that's true.
We
see the same kind of discrimination when conservatives speak and they get on certain liberal websites. And you can include Google, YouTube, and, you know, Facebook and many others. And right now, of course, the government, I can't remember which one it is, the House or the Senate, is investigating why there is a discrimination against the conservatives. And, of course, recently it was uncovered in an undercover video, some Google officials making plans how they're going to stifle Trump to keep him from being elected. And they were going to do it, of course, through all the stuff that they have. In other words, all their stuff. Now, I can tell you from looking even at Windows 10 and some of the stuff there that I have done everything I can to keep it out of the junk pile. And it ends up there all the time. And I'm well versed at how to do this. But there is an inordinate amount of conservative email that winds up in the junk mail every time, even though they're on my safe list and other things. So it is definitely something that is going on. So here's a student who can't even say the truth. Now, can you imagine you and I in seventh grade saying, well, there's four genders or three genders or
what
whatever, you know?
I mean, good Lord, there's male and female. There's nothing else.
Well, I told you what they were saying not too long ago, that there's no such thing as a male and a female. There is a human body, and then that is either male or female, or you can be a male in a female body or a female in a male body, or who knows? I mean, once you go down this path, you know, you can be a donkey and, I mean, who knows?
In a human body.
Yeah, I mean, give me a break. I mean, it never ends. Just like stupid. But at any rate, and the teacher fired back telling the student to keep that opinion to your own house and not in this school. I'm stating what is national school policy authority, national authority policy. Well, you know, that doesn't surprise me that it's national school authority of policy, but they need to get rid of it. This is an inclusive school. And I'm more than one gender in this country. This is my opinion, and that is an opinion which is acceptable in the school. I'm afraid that yours, which you are saying, there is no such thing as anyone other than male or female, is not inclusive. You're choosing to make an issue about this, the teacher said. You're making a bad choice. The student then asks if he can go to the research area to resume his classwork, but is told to stay in the room. "Thanks for wasting my time," the student said as the teacher walked out of the room. The video concludes with the teacher stopping in his tracks, turning around and telling the student, "I'm not allowed to tell you how much of my time you're wasted." You know, this is a liberal.
Was that here in the United States?
Yeah.
Good grief, that's horrible.
Doesn't say where it was. It was from CBN, but I don't know. Well, that's America today. I mean, we know that. And so while the whole world is dealing with real issues, we're dealing with arguing with the teacher over how many genders there are. I mean, good grief. In the garden, there was Adam and Eve. There wasn't Adam and Eve and Steve and, you know, Andrea. And there was Adam and Eve. They were told to multiply. Kind of hard to multiply if you have Adam and Adam or, you know, Jeannie and Cynthia.
Yeah.
I mean, we are simply stupid in this world today. As Paul says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So at any rate, I do have an article this week that talks about a lot of this stuff. You can go on over to Warren-USA or DanaGlennSmith.com to read it. Talks about perilous times and how bad things are and how good things are. The best at times and the worst at times. But we are living in perilous times. So at any rate, we're going to move down the road here. Are you ready for yours?
Yes.
Okay.
This story comes to us from Barnabas Aid. And it's about deliverance from Boko Haram in Nigeria. And as you know, we've reported on this a lot, northern Nigeria is a dangerous place for Christians, and especially for those who have left Islam to follow Christ. But one day, God intervened in power to save 72 converts and their children from the Boko Haram militants. And this story begins with a group of 500 Nigerian Christian converts from Islam and their children. And it's not normal for tribes to gather in such large numbers, but they've all been attacked by Boko Haram militants, and they hope that a larger group would give them a measure of security. But it didn't deter Boko Haram. They attacked the group and captured 76 of them, taking them back to their camp. And at the Boko Haram camp, the Christians were tortured, and their four male leaders were told they must deny Christ and return to Islam or they would be shot. And of course, they refused, and they were duly shot dead in view of the rest of the group. And a week later, the widows of the four men were told that they must renounce their Christian faith or their children would be shot. And they were given time to think over the dreadful choice. And as they agonized together that evening, their excited children came running in, telling their mothers that Jesus had appeared to them and told them all would be well. Jesus then appeared to the whole group of 72 and told them not to fear, for he would protect them. He said they should not renounce him, but should stay strong, and that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And the next day, the four mothers gave their decisions to the militants. They would not deny Christ. The militants prepared to shoot the children who were already lined up against a wall. And the youngest was a little girl of four. And suddenly the militants began screaming and clawing at their heads, shouting, "Snake!" And they fled the scene, and some of them dropped dead. And one of the Christian men reached for the gun of a dead militant, but the four-year-old put her hand on his arm to stop him. "You don't need to do that," she said. "Can't you see the men in white fighting for us?" So that's a good story to hear. I would like to see more of that, hear more of that deliverance for our brothers and sisters that are being tortured in all these countries.
Boy, you know it is. And, you know, we talk a lot about the end times and the Lord bringing deliverance just like that. We do cover a number of miracles, but not everybody is going to be delivered that way. In the Hall of Fame of Faith, which I've covered as well, there are those who are martyred and those who have a deliverance and are saved out of their problems, their troubles. And so we see that in the last days, and especially now, as never before, and it actually was kicked off in 2014, 2015, with the rise of ISIS pushing through the Middle East. And that was in there. We had the double blood moons in the feasts in the spring and in the fall. And both times we covered what it meant. And you know, this, ever since that double blood moon, which is usually a, you know, signifies something that is about ready to change, we see this happening. And even today, we see that continuing. And, you know, I mean, you get to the point, you are sick of the blood. You're sick of people getting murdered all the time. And these people have no conscience whatsoever. You know, they have been hardened. They believe this is what it is about. And when they die, they're going to be cast into the pit. And they're going to be in that everlasting fire. And the worm will never die. And it'll go in and out of their souls as they burn continually in eternal torment for what they've done. It's not a pretty picture.
Too bad they make those choices.
I know. And you can't stop them unless you kill them. But there are a number of them that are coming to the Lord. And it's a lot of these former Muslims who have ministries working and winning other Muslims to Christ, that many of these Muslims fear. And even in Iran, as Iran is going through a lot of stuff and has been in the news, there was a story run talking about how many Iranians are coming to the Lord. Now, we know that because we've covered Iran,
right?
And we've covered the reason why Iran, why the Ayatollah had told the security service there to crack down on Christians because too many Iranians were becoming Christian. So why did China crack down? Because there was too many Chinese becoming Christian. And we see this all over the world, and the devil's, you know, he don't like that, and many of these countries don't like that. And it's just an amazing thing when you see what's going on. Because the fact remains, when you die in faith for the Lord, you're with the Lord. And that's what the Lord would tell them. He says, if you die, you will be with me. And that's an important thing to understand. Now, another thing that we were looking at is illegal organ harvesting. Now, I've heard of this before coming out of China and other places. But the fact that this is Falun Gong. Now, see, in China, they're not just cracking down on Christians, but they've been cracking down on every faith, so to speak, Muslim and others. But especially Christians, Muslims, and here the Falun Gong. China Aid had brought this up. That's Bob Fu's organization. And he has quite a ministry over there among a lot of churches in America and abroad, getting the word about what's happening in China to the world. And a tribunal of independent attorneys and scholars concluded that Chinese officials have been routinely, now these are independent attorneys and scholars. It's not a bunch of knuckleheads. They've been routinely incarcerating and harvesting the organs of adherents to a spiritual practice known as Falun Gong. And the discipline centers on principles of forbearance, truthfulness, compassion, and it gained popularity in China in the 1990s. And, of course, under about 1999, they faced increased persecution, and now they're going through it again. But the tribunal is known as the China Tribunal, and it has seven lawyers and other experts. And, you know, I mean, it's just unconscionable, Tower.
Yeah.
You throw them in jail, you put them to sleep, you take whatever you need and sew them up again, and I don't know.
Bury them?
Bury them or release them. I mean, who knows? I mean, this is so paganistic, it's not funny. This is
yeah,
so
they,
damnable.
It is. China or Beijing authorities deny it, but they say these types of executions are taking place. And they're doing it just to, they're executing the prisoners just to do the organ harvesting.
Well,
that's horrible.
You know, when it comes to Bob Fu, he has decades of this, and I will take his word over China's any day of the week.
Exactly.
Wilberforce had an alert out about the Iran government. 2 weeks ago, agents went to the home of Iranian, he is a city councilman there in one of the cities, and took him to prison for advocating religious tolerance. Well, you can't have some councilman that's supposed to represent the legal aspects of the country advocate religious tolerance, because after all, you're not tolerant. So, you know, throw his butt in jail.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting, the breakdown, because the majority in Iran are 12 or Shia Muslim. And the others are Sunnis. That's why you have two different things. Turkey is a Sunni and working to get a caliphate, and the Shia are waiting for the Mahdi. And of course, you get into Saudi Arabia, they're Sunni. And so that's why Saudi Arabia and Iran don't get along. And of course, Pompano, I think it was in the Middle East and Saudi Arabia and other places drumming up support in case of what happens with Iran because of the sanctions. Saudi Arabia told Japan that they would make sure they always had plenty of oil. And so there's a lot of things going on here, but tolerance by Iran is not one of them. It's kind of interesting. It says the Constitution bans the parliament from passing laws contrary to Islam and states there may be no amendment to its provisions related to the Islamic character of the political or legal system. Now, of course, remember, this was all instituted by Khomeini, the first one, after they got rid of the established authority that had been propped up by the American government and others. Iran's constitution does recognize religion because we have Jews and Christians and others over there. But, you know, there's many of them that are subject to persecution, including Christians, and even Jews now are facing it. And so, you know, recently we've been reading more about them harassing Jewish believers, you know, traditional Judaism. So Iran just don't, you know, they don't know what it's like to just say, okay, we're going to let you guys do your thing. And of course, Iran has always been.
That's now, too bad.
Open Doors says there's about 800,000 plus Christians in Iran. I don't know what the number is. But if, and there again, in Iran, the ones who face the biggest persecution are the converts from Islam. And, you know, so you have a former Muslim that's a Christian. You know, that's a target all over the world because Islam does not like that. And,
that's
of course,
right.
there's a death penalty in almost every country that has Sharia law. There's a death penalty for that. And most of the time, the converts really do. I mean, they lose everything. They can lose their family, their money, their livelihood, their jobs. And in some of the places, we even report on the people not able to not only get jobs, but even if they had a job or money, they have a problem trying to find a place to buy food or anything else because most of the shops are Muslim who won't sell to them.
That is so wicked.
It is wicked. And so while you're sitting comfortable at home, think of the brethren in Christ. And if you can do it, you need to not only pray for them, but give money to a ministry that puts boots on the ground that can help them out. Many of these ministries have, you know, the people that are native to their country that work, and they work to get the aid out and stuff in their countries. So it's important to get money and resources to the brethren in Christ. But in the case when we're dealing with the Fulani or Boko Haram or ISIS or any others, if you're in an area where they're active, then you got to kill the bad guys first. Either that or get them saved. I mean, that's just the bottom line. You can't distribute food if they're shooting at you.
That's right.
So at any rate, I find a lot of this stuff just, you know, it's gut-wrenching to think about how these people can't even do a simple thing like, you know, and this is another thing that, you know, I forgot which country it was, one of the countries we cover a lot. There's just so much news coming across. We can't carry it all. I don't think anyone can. It's coming in from everywhere. It's happening at an ever-increasing rate. And the authorities had shut down the church, so this guy put up a tent on his property, and people came there for church. Well, they closed it down, took down the tent, and threw him in jail.
Good grief.
They are frightened to death of church.
They are.
They are.
They're frightened of Jesus Christ.
It's kind of interesting. You look in America, and America has churches all over the place. And, you know, we're so lukewarm and cold, we could care less.
Yeah. All
Remember
kinds
the Lord.
Of churches, all kinds of faith.
The Lord said, I wish that you were either hot or cold. You know, either hot on fire for him or just totally opposed to him. And we're seeing those that are totally opposed to him, he's saving. Many times overseas, we're seeing a lot of that. That's the reports. So you've got to make up your own decision. And I urge you not to get caught up in all this baloney we see. We have lots of radio programs, lots of websites, lots of social sites. And you need to be focusing on the things that are important. Focus on the brethren of Christ. At least make that a part of your everyday life.
Amen.
Now, we do have another thing. Are you ready for your next one?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
This comes to us from, I believe, Barnabas 8 again. It's in Azerbaijan. And a six-year-old boy took Christian booklets to school as gifts for his classmates. Well, that landed his parents in trouble with the authorities in Azerbaijan. And the boy's head teacher called the police, who then raided the parents' home. They seized the Bibles, Christian pamphlets, and CDs of worship songs. The police also discovered that on New Year's Eve 2018, the Christian couple, I'm not sure what their first names are, but their last name is Mamadov, had held a Christian event for children at their home, and that 12 youngsters had received a party gift of sweets and a picture book about the birth of Jesus. And the authorities found out that a pastor had been present, so he was also interrogated. And his home was later searched and seized all the items of Christian literature they could find. And this couple, the Mamadovs, were charged with possessing religious literature that did not bear a government control mark and holding a children's meeting in violation of a law that relates to punishing clergy and members of religious associations holding special meetings for children and young people. The Mamadovs were fined 1,500 manets, and that's the equivalent of $880 in American dollars, which maybe doesn't sound like much. It's a lot to me, but maybe it doesn't sound much like much. But that is 3 months' average wage for salaried workers in Azerbaijan. And they appealed it, and it was rejected on June 4th. The court hearing lasted 10 minutes, and they issued an unfair decision, said a Christian familiar with the case. And the couple may now make a direct appeal to President Ilham Aliyev. And in a separate case, three Christians were each given similar fines for holding a Bible study in the northern Azerbaijan town of Sheikh in December of 2018, and they did not plan to appeal. And despite these incidents, the authorities have launched fewer such raids on Christian places of worship or homes in 2019 so far. That's according to the reports. And the government of Azerbaijan, which is now 96% Muslim, gives preference to traditional religions such as Islam and Russian Orthodox Christianity, and they restrict all other forms of Christianity. It's too bad they're so afraid of that.
Well, Azerbaijan used to be a state of Russia. That's why they accept the Russian Orthodox.
Oh, okay.
It's political.
That was part of the USSR.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, I seen another article that was really neat, and that is thousands of Christians march for Jesus in France. It took place in six cities. And
wow.
They also had Latino and African migrants, and they were all together to pray for the nation, give Bibles in French and Arabic, and share the message of the gospel. They had posters, songs, and conversations.
Well,
you know,
cool.
I mean, you know, France, you don't expect that out of France for some reason.
No.
Or Europe, you know? And they were saying, the people that the organizers said, that it's a privilege to be able to freely testify publicly about our faith in the streets of our cities.
That is cool. That's awesome.
And all they want to do is proclaim the love of Jesus So they have praise, prayer, and the proclamation of the Word of God. Yeah, I think that's cool,
yeah,
too.
That's
I mean,
yeah.
what would that do to America if all the churches woke up here?
We might see a great thing happening.
Yeah, it would. So that's encouraging, you know. I mean, it's good to see that.
Yes, it is.
And I think there's one thing about it, you know. Although there's a lot of persecution, and that's sad to see them die. When they die, they go be with the Lord anyway. But we still hate to see the persecution.
That's right, we do.
But if we go to India in the Kerala state, you know, there's always persecution somewhere we're reporting on in India all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
You can always count on stories out of Nigeria. You can always count on stories out of Pakistan and India. And there's a number of others, always China. You know, North Korea, not so much. Persecution, most of the Christians are so far underground that, you know, if they are caught, they're immediately sent to their death practically, and their families in concentration camps. It's one of the most horrible places on earth for Christians. But, you know, the bottom line of it is that in China, I mean, India, again, here we go, you know, an evangelist. His
yeah.
church is called the Faith Family Church. And I've always liked a lot of these names of these churches overseas, you know.
Yeah, me too.
You know, because they name it out. They will say something like the Jesus Christ Love Church. You know, while we're over here, we say, well, the first church of the first Christian church of Baltimore or something. You know, you get overseas and it's Faith Family Church. Well, you already know what it is. They're a church of families that have the faith of Christ, and they're in India. That's what, you know, and I've seen that time and time again. They will put the main nouns of who they are right up front in the name all the time. So you can't dispute their church. That's who they are.
That's right.
And so, I mean, here's a guy that simply went to the hospital. That was his ministry. And he then traveled to another medical college. Matter of fact, this was on the 10th of June that he actually did this. And so a political leader approached him and got abusive with him and accused him of forcing conversion. So in the end, he wound up in the police station for what he was doing. And of course, who's in charge in India? The BJP party. And we've talked about that party a lot. There's a lot of persecution going on in India. And,
that's
you
fine.
Know, it just absolutely amazes me. You know, because we think of India as a fairly nice place to be. But, and we've got Indian Christians that are Hindu here in America. And most of the Indian people that are over here from India that I've run into are nice. But you wouldn't know that India itself is actually one of the worst persecuted places for Christians there is. And, of course, it falls behind some of the others, but Christians are always in trouble there. There's always a push to do something to them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, they're so afraid. And that's what actually a lot of this is from, is we don't want any more of our people becoming Christians. That's what it amounts to. I mean, one of these days, the Lord of Glory is going to be back, and they're not going to be able to do anything.
They're going to realize,
I mean,
they've made a big, huge mistake.
They will. I mean, how do you say, I don't care what kind of God you are. You're not going to, what did you say to me? I mean, they're not even going to get that far.
No.
You know?
They'll be shaking in their boots. They'll be prostrate on the ground.
They will.
Straight.
Well, you know, the sinners, though, they shake their fists and think that, you know, that's it. But it's not it. And while you're having a heyday with Christians today and slaughtering them, one day these Christians will stand as witnesses when you stand before the judgment of Almighty God. And when you stand
That's
on
right.
that day, I got news for you. Everybody there will know what went on. They won't have to say a thing because it'll be, see, when you're in the spirit, you know these things. And that's the way it is in heaven. The only one that keeps a secret is God Almighty. When he has a certain prophecy to fulfill or something or a day, he appoints the days and the hours. He calls the end from the beginning. But when you stand on that judgment day, there will be no secret thoughts. There will be no secret words. There will be no deed that is hidden. Everything will be uncovered, and you'll be found out for what you are.
Amen.
That's why you need to repent.
And the sooner the better.
Yeah, I would say the sooner the better. That's probably a good idea, wouldn't you think? Paul says that today is the day of salvation. You know, we haven't
That's
heard
right.
much out of Cuba, and I was surprised to see 7 Protestant denominations forming and getting together. They formed the Cuban Alliance of Evangelical Churches. And this is the day after
really?
The 10th. A lot of stuff happened on June 10th and 11th. What were we doing? That's hard to believe.
Yeah.
And they said the primary reason behind the creation of this alliance is that the denominations which form part do not feel represented by the Cuban Council of Churches before the authorities and the Cuban people and feel motivated to work united in the defense of biblical values. You know, that is, yeah, that's a good step, but that can get them in trouble with the government.
Oh, it can.
And so, now, of course, they formed their alliance, but there was a new constitution approved there in the general referendum in Cuba. And this new constitution weakens language on the freedom of religion or belief, which, you know, that shouldn't be surprising coming out of Cuba. So it weakened the language of your rights as a Christian or any other faith. So, you know, I mean, Cuba's not free. I don't care if Castro isn't there. They're not out of the woods.
Well,
by a
right.
long shot. So at any rate, we're coming down. We got a few minutes left. Remember, you can get all the latest updates and everything. You can follow us on Facebook. Now, we do not correspond back and forth on Messenger or Facebook. We have got hundreds of people that are there with us, following us. And there's no way I can spend all day answering messages and opening up files that you send. That's not why I'm on Facebook. And we we don't have that kind of an organization here. We're a bare bones outfit doing what we're doing right now. But you can find a lot of updates we send through our Instagram, through our 3 Twitter feeds, through Facebook. But I don't, probably 99% of the time, you will never see me tweet out a personal feeling anything on anything. I don't do that usually. I might send a news story out and comment on it. I might do something, but to tweet and just do anything like that, I don't do that. Matter of fact, I don't even like social feeds. I think they're the detriment to modern society. We use them as a tool, just like the internet. We use the internet as a tool to get this word around the world. We have people all over the world that listen. And we have on many, many different networks that we're going through our Warren Radio Network. And so people can listen to us on many different apps, many different places. So you can get most of those over on the front page of either warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. You'll see a little app there from Spreaker, I think it is, and they have a lot of our other links there. But we also have all of the shows on our own websites where you can download the shows. You can do a lot. You can comment on those articles, too, on our websites. But send your correspondence, if you have some, through our radio networks, through our Warren Radio website. That's the official channel, and anything else is not going to work, period. So at any rate, a few updates. We are still working on the book. The second book is called The Rising. The first book is Steal the Darkness, and we have another book. I have a number of books. They're all over on our Amazon author page. But at any rate, that is also because of the network through which Amazon distributes, gets distributed around the world. It's really an amazing thing how we're able to do this. But at any rate, be sure to check all this out and be sure to help the persecuted church in any way that you can, but especially prayer. You got anything? We got a couple of minutes left, Tower.
Yes, be sure to join us tomorrow night for Battle Lines. It'll be part 8 of Isaiah's prophetic book, House of David's Emmanuel. House of David's Emmanuel, the prophet Isaiah is bringing his message to Judah, has an announcement. He is the one directly to the house of David and the coming hope. It is here that within the prophets we find fulfillment of truth. So join us tomorrow night for that, and we want to thank you for joining us tonight, and whenever you do, may God bless you richly for all you do. Please pray for the persecuted church, for God's intervention in this, and that the perpetrators will be brought to justice. Thank you.
That would be nice.
We pray for you. Yes, it would.
We would like to see them brought to justice. We want this to stop, but we are in the last days. And for the Western church, I say watch out. Because
yes,
it's coming to America. And with our borders wide open and have been for years now, your enemies are already here. Until next time, be sure to check out our websites and all of our social feeds. And remember to pray for the persecuted church and give financially to those ministries that work on the ground or thereby, as close as they can get. If you have trouble determining who to support, you can go through our website, send us an email, and we'll tell you a few and currently that we know about. We have a lot that we know about, but there are a few that we can tell you to check out. We have no connection
to
them. Yep. Good night. Yeah. We'll see you.
We love you. God bless you.
Shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Warren Radio.